Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for standing by, and welcome to Robi First Half 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I also must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday the 26th of July, 2018. I would now like to turn the conference call over to your speaker, Mr. Javier López-Belmonte. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everyone. This is Javier López-Belmonte, CFO of Robi. At this time, I would like to welcome everybody to this first half 2018 results conference call, which will start in a moment. Let me please first introduce Robi's attendees today, Mr. Juan López-Belmonte, CEO, Marta Campos, Investor Relations, and myself. All lines are now on mute to prevent any background noise. The conference will also be webcasted on Robi website. After the presentation, as the operator said, there will be a question and answer session. Let me now then turn the call over to the CEO, Mr. Juan López-Belmonte, for the highlights of this first half 2018 results.
Thank you, Javier, and welcome to everybody. I'm glad to present our first half 2018 results. Performance this period has been in line with our expectations. Our 5% operating revenue growth in the first half of the year was driven by the strength of the specialty pharmaceutical business, which grew by 14%, strongly outperforming the market. Data provided by Quintiles IMS indicate that the innovative product market in Spain increased 2% in the first half of 2018. However, sales of pharmaceutical products with prescriptions for Robi rose 17% in the same period, exceeding the market by 15 percentage points. We forecast that we will continue to grow at a higher rate than Spanish pharmaceutical market expenditure in the first five months of 2018, which according to the Ministry of Health, Consumption, and Social Welfare, show a growth rate of 3.5%. Regarding the classification of laboratories using data from Quintiles IMS, Robi was positioned 21st in terms of value and was the fastest-growing innovative company among the 20 first top-ranked companies in the first six months of 2018. In the first half of this year, we made an important investment effort in research and development as we continue to develop a phase III for risperidone and a phase I study for letrozole, both with our ISM technology. Likewise, EBITDA was affected by non-recurring expenses of 2.6 million euros. 1.5 million euros of this amount were related to the study and analysis of potential corporate operations, while 1.1 million euros were linked to a substantial change to First Ibérica employees' working conditions. EBITDA pre-research and development, calculated excluding R&D expenses in the six-month periods ending 30th of June 2018 and 30th of June 2017, and the impact of non-recurring expenses in the first half of 2018, decreased by 1% from 33 million euros in the first half of 2017 to 32.7 million euros in the first half of this year, reflecting a 1.4 percentage point fall in the EBITDA margin to 22.4% in the first half of 2018. Net profit pre-research and development increased by 17% from 24.3 million euros in the first half of last year to 28.4 million euros in the first half of 2018. Prescription-based pharmaceutical specialties, which grew by 17% in the first half of 2018, are high strategic value products and contribute to give Robi a wider scope for the coming years. Robi counts as driving force with bemiparin, which performed very well in the first half of 2018, with sales up 13% to €48.3 million. Sales of bemiparin in Spain grew by 16% to €33.9 million in the first half of this year, while the low molecular weight heparin market increased 4.2% in the same period, beating the market by 11.8 percentage points and achieving a market share of 32% in the first half of 2018, compared to 28% in the same period the previous year. In addition, we continue to be focused on taking our main product, bemiparin, to an international level as one of the drivers of long-term growth. International sales increased by 7% to €14.4 million. We launched enoxaparin biosimilar Becat in Germany in September 2017, in the U.K. in March 2018, and in Italy in April this year. We should be launching in all major countries in Europe before Q1 2019. For this purpose, in our first stage of commercialization strategy, we have established subsidiaries in France, U.K., Germany, and Italy, and we expect to open in Poland soon. These five countries, plus Spain and Portugal, cover around 75% of the European enoxaparin market and provide a pan-European infrastructure that is highly leverageable. Besides Europe, we have signed out licensing agreements in 45 countries as part of our second stage of commercialization strategy. We have signed two important licensing agreements to distribute and market our enoxaparin biosimilar, the first with Hikma Pharmaceuticals, who has the exclusive rights for 17 Middle East and North Africa countries, and the second with Sandoz for 14 countries regions. We started the commercialization in Q4 2017, with sales amounted to €1.5 million, and sales increased to €8.9 million in the first half of 2018, 86% of which corresponds to sales in Germany and 11% in Italy. So let me just summarize the opportunity here. There is a €1 billion market with high entry barriers, where biosimilars tend to reach 50 to 70% of market share, and with only two other potential players in the market. The latest launches were again a strong driver of growth in the first half of 2018. Sales of Neparvis from Novartis, launched in December 2016, indicated for the treatment of adult patients with symptomatic chronic heart failure and reduced ejection fraction, reached €5.9 million compared to €1.5 million the same period last year. Sales of HeroBreathe Breezhaler and Ulunar Breezhaler, both inhaled bronchodilators from Novartis, increased by 9% to €7.7 million. Sales of Vitorin, Orvatez, and Absorcol, the first of the five licenses of Merck Chapandon, increased by 3% to €19.6 million in the first half of the year. Sales of Volutsa from Astellas Pharma increased by 25% to €5.4 million. All these product launches will lead us to extend the average life of our product portfolio by several years, and we expect they will provide us with a sustainable and profitable growth opportunity in the coming years. Other products, such as Medikinet and Medisebran from Medice, decreased by 3% to sales of €3.9 million in the first half of this year. Finally, sales of contrast imaging agents increased by 4% to €15.3 million. Regarding toll manufacturing, sales decreased by 25% to €23 million in the first half of 2018. Mainly because of the reduction of the injectable business compared to the first half of 2017, when exceptional high volumes were manufactured for some customers. Rovi has one of the largest solid oral forms manufacturing plants in Europe, and sales increased 1% in the first half of 2018 to €13.1 million. The manufacturing plant at San Sebastián de los Reyes acquired in June 2015, started prefilled syringes filling operations in February this year, thus expanding the production lines of injectables of the group. By the end of 2018, a mid-teen decline from 10 to 20% in toll manufacturing is expected. As previously informed, Rovi has progressed in the development of Doria, the first candidate for its leading-edge drug delivery technology ISM for a prolonged release of risperidone, a well-established second-generation antipsychotic medicine. After successfully finishing the Phase 1 and 2 program of Doria, we started the pivotal Phase 3 trial Prisma 3 with the recruitment of the first patient in May 2017. In May 2018, we informed that after a pre-specified interim analysis on the pivotal Prisma 3 study, an independent data monitoring committee recommended to continue the clinical trial and not increasing the currently planned number of randomized patients. The company plans to file an NDA, U.S. registration dossier for the FDA, the second half of 2019. On the other hand, in November 2017, Rovi started the clinical development of letrozole ISM, the first long-acting aromatase inhibitor injectable intended for the treatment of hormone-dependent breast cancer. The first Phase 1 clinical trial, the LISA-1 study, is an open-label dose escalation study to evaluate the pharmacokinetics, safety, and tolerability of single intramuscular injections of letrozole ISM at different strengths in healthy postmenopausal women. The clinical trial is currently ongoing as scheduled. And finally, let me end with our guidance for 2018. Rovi expects a mid-single-digit growth rate for the operating revenue, with sales of its enoxaparin biosimilar within a range of between 20 to 30 million euros. We have stayed on the path of sustained growth. We increased sales, strongly outperforming the market. We expanded our heparin franchise through the launch of enoxaparin biosimilar in UK and Italy, and second, the signature of two important agreements with Hikma and Sandoz for 31 countries. And we have consolidated our pharmaceutical specialties area thanks to the strength of our leading products such as Neparvis, Orvatez, Ulunar, and Volutsa. Likewise, we are making an effort to heavily invest in research and development, focus on RSM technology, what we see as a new avenue of future growth for Rovi. To conclude, we believe we are at a growth inflection point with a strong growth opportunity driven by Doria and letrozole, both candidates validating our leading-edge drug delivery technology, ISM, and second, an enoxaparin biosimilar, which will allow us to transform the European footprint. These growth levers are firmly underpinned by a very solid ongoing business that has delivered year after year based on our leading specialty pharma franchise and our high value-added toll manufacturing services. And now I pass on Javier, who will run you through the financials in more detail. Thank you very much for your attention and for taking the time to participate in this telephone conference.
Thanks, Juan. So starting with the P&L, as Juan already said, our operating revenue increased by 5% this period. This growth is driven by the good performance of Bemiparin and our leading products, products such as Neparvis, Orvatez, Volutsa, and Ulunar. Sales of prescription-based products increased by 17%, strongly outperforming the innovative product market in 15 percentage points in the first half of 2018. Regarding Bemiparin, our flagship product, internally developed, we achieved a 13% growth. Sales in Spain grew by 17%, while international sales increased by 7%. Gross profit increased by 1% to €85.1 million in the first half of 2018, reflecting a decrease of 2.5 percentage points in the gross margin to 58.2% from 60.7% in the first half of 2017, mainly due to the decrease of injectable business, which added higher margins in the first half of last year. Rovi's commitment to innovation has been reflected in the figures for the first half of 2018. R&D expenses rose 79% to €16.8 million. These figures are mainly the result of a focused investment in the ISM Risperidone project. Our investment effort in R&D is motivated by our firm commitment to market own quality and successful products in the immediate future. Selling, general and administrative expenses, SG&A, rose 3% to €52.4 million in the first half of 2018 compared to the first half of 2017, mainly due to international subsidiaries expenses, which amounted to €2.6 million compared to €0.2 million in the first half of 2017. Excluding expenses related to international subsidiaries, SG&A would have decreased by 2% in the first half of 2018. In the first half of 2018, EBITDA was affected by non-recurring expenses of €2.6 million. €1.5 million of this amount were related to the study and analysis of potential corporate operations, while €1.1 million were linked to a substantial change to Frost Iberica employees' working conditions. This change in working condition was mainly related to the removal of the catering service, for which the employees were compensated with a sum similar to the cost that Rovi would have incurred in the following five-year period. EBITDA decreased to €13.3 million in the first half of 2018, a fall of 44% compared to the same period the previous year, reflecting a 7.9 percentage point decrease in the EBITDA margin, which was down to 9.1% in the first half of the year, from 17% in the first half of last year. However, EBITDA pre-R&D, that means calculated excluding R&D expenses in the first half of 2018 and 2017, and the impact of non-recurrent expenses in the first half of the year, decreased by only 1%, from €33 million in the first half of 2017 to €32.7 million in the first half of 2018, reflecting a 1.4 percentage point fall in the EBITDA margin to 22.4% in the first half of this year. Likewise, recognizing the same amount of R&D expenses in the first half of 2018 as in the first half of 2017, and excluding the impact of non-recurring expenses in the first half of 2018, EBITDA would have decreased by 1% to €23.4 million, reflecting a 1.1 percentage point fall in the EBITDA margin to 16% in the first half of 2018. EBIT performance followed the same trend as EBITDA in the first half of 2018. It decreased by 58% to €7.5 million, reflecting a 7.7 percentage point fall in the EBIT margin. EBIT pre-R&D decreased by 1% from €27.1 million in the first half of 2017 to €26.9 million in the first half of 2018, reflecting in this case a 1.2 percentage point fall in the EBIT margin to 18.4% in the first half of this year. Likewise, recognizing the same amount of R&D expenses in the first half of the year as in the first half of 2017, and excluding the impact of non-recurring expenses in the first half of 2018, EBIT would have decreased by 1% to 17.5 million euros, reflecting a 0.8 percentage point fall in the EBIT margin to 12.0% in the first half of 2018. Net financial cost decreased by 11%, up to 0.4 million euros in the first half of 2018. Net profit decreased to 7.6 million euros in the first half of 2018, a 52% fall compared to the same period the previous year. However, net profit pre-R&D, calculated excluding R&D expenses in the first half of 2018 and 17, and the impact of non-recurring expenses in the first half of 2018, increased by 17% to 28.4 million euros in the first half of 2018. Likewise, recognizing the same amount of R&D expenses in the first half of the year as in the first half of last year, and excluding the impact of non-recurring expenses in the first half of 2018, net profit would have increased by 16% to 18.3 million euros. The effective tax rate was -7.4% in the first half of 2018, compared to 8.6% in the first half of 2017. This improvement in the effective tax rate is due to the increase in the capitalization of research and development deductions and negative tax bases. As of 30th of June 2018, Frost Iberica negative tax bases still amounted to 35.1 million euros. While the Risperidone ISM phase 3 trial is ongoing, adding higher R&D expenses to the group, Rovi expects a very beneficial effective tax rate to be applicable, which could cause the income tax item to be positive income, as it happened this time. Notwithstanding, when the R&D expenses are normalized after completion of the phase three trial, the company expects the effective tax rate to be in mid-single-digit numbers in the following years. Rovi invested 5.1 million euros in the first half of the year, which was the same amount as in the first half of last year. Of this amount, 4.3 million euros relates to investment capex regarding our facilities, and 0.8 million euros relates to maintenance and other capex. The soundness of our balance sheet and our cash generation capacity have always allowed promoting the organic growth of the company. Free cash flow decreased to -5.8 million euros in the first half of the year from -3.4 million euros in the same period of the previous year, mainly due to the increase in inventories, receivables and payables, and the decrease in the profit before income tax due to our increase in R&D expenditure. Regarding our debt, Rovi had total debt of 38.5 million euros. Of that amount, 25.9 million euros is debt with banks, representing 70% of total debt, while 12.6 million euros correspond to debt with public administration related to the development of R&D projects, which is 0% interest rate debt, representing 33% of total debt. Rovi had gross cash position of 31.4 million euros and net debt of 7 million euros in the first half of 2018, compared to 1.1 million euros as of 31st December 2017. Finally, on the 5th of July, Rovi paid a gross dividend of 0.1207 euro per share, with dividend rights on 2017 earnings. This dividend represented a 35% payout. Finally, regarding news flow for 2018, we expect to announce additional new licensing products to be launched in the specialty pharma area, new contracts in toll manufacturing, and new national marketing approvals for the enoxaparin biosimilar in the rest of the EU countries. Likewise, we expect to launch our enoxaparin biosimilar in all major countries in Europe before first quarter of 2019. With regards to R&D, we will continue recruiting patients for the risperidone ISM phase III study. Rovi plans to file an NDA U.S. registration dossier for the FDA in the second half of 2019. Also, we expect to release the letrozole ISM phase I data readout by the second quarter of 2019. That's all regarding our financial results for the first half of 2018. Now we can start with the Q&A session. Back to you, Jenny.
Yes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, should you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Should you wish to cancel your request, you may press the pound or hash key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one should you wish to ask a question. We have a few questions on the line. We will just wait for an operator to take their names. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one should you wish to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Samir Badnani. Please ask your question. Hello, Samir, your line is now open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple. Just on the exceptional charge, the 1.5 million euros for potential corporate operations. I just wanted to understand that a little bit better. Were you assessing some acquisition opportunity there?
Hi, Samir, this is Javier. Unfortunately, we cannot disclose any further information about this topic. However, we wanted to be very transparent and to help and facilitate the analysis of investor and analysts of our P&L, and that's why we disclosed this exceptional and extraordinary amount. Unfortunately, we cannot give more details right now.
Okay. Fair enough. Just final question, just on the biosimilar enoxaparin. You've obviously launched in the U.K. I know there's a tender process there, but obviously sales seem quite limited at the moment. Can you just remind us what sort of timeline, sort of the key tenders are up for bidding? Thanks.
Hello, Samir. Good afternoon. This is Juan. The U.K. has proven to be quite a slow pace tender process. We have already been awarded a couple of tenders in the U.K., but the execution of the tenders has been much slower than we previously thought. We've seen the last couple of months that sales, although in a limited way, they are starting to get some speed. We have a clear schedule of the different tenders that they are going to be published in the next coming months, and we are optimistic on the chances that we have of being awarded a couple of them. Something that initially, on theory, it seems like a very fast switching market due to their tender process has proven to be much slower than we previously thought.
Okay, that's great. Sorry, just maybe one final follow-up question. Just on the injectables business, I'm just wondering if you could just talk a little bit about capacity and your strategy to sort of increase revenues there.
Hi, Samir. This is Javier again. As you know very well, we have built up an important capacity with regards to injectables. So we have already in place and working two full injectable facilities. However, it is very difficult for us to foresee or to forecast the needs for our own products. So we have taken a conservative approach in the sense that we are limiting our selling and marketing infrastructure in terms of core manufacturing, and we are trying to market and promote our spare capacity to high added value customers rather than volume-driven customers. So that's why this year injectable business is slowing down a little bit, and for us, we believe it's reasonable to wait and see which will be the capacity needed for our own product. And then in the next years, if we believe that we have more capacity, we can change our strategy to capture all the market. But now we are trying to keep the focus to high added value injectable customers.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you once again. That is star one should you wish to ask a question. And the next one comes from Francisco Rubiz. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is if you could give us some guidance on profitability. I mean, the bumpy expenditure in R&D and also on SG&A make us complicated to get to EBITDA or the margin figure at the GRN. So could you give us an idea of what is the SG&A would be in the second half of the year and R&D as well? The second question is on these license agreements that you signed on enoxaparin. So could you give us an idea of how much could represent in the coming years? And finally, it's on the taxes. Taking into account that the new government is thinking to impose a minimum corporate tax of 15%, could this affect it to you, or will you have an increase on taxes because of that? Thank you.
Thank you, Francisco. With regards to your first question regarding an outlook for our profitability for the end of the year, but we can comment with you and with the rest of the analysts that R&D figures will be in line which we forecasted in our analyst presentation back in 2017. That means that the R&D figure will be above 30 million euros and in average, I guess that close to 32-33, again, related in line with our forecast that we did a couple, 1 year ago, no, I believe. Regarding SG&A, we do not see any ups and downs. We believe that will be pretty much linear in the next 6 months. And then with that information, you have to assess the profitability of the company, which I believe will be again very much in line with the trend that we have saw in the first semester. With regards to the second question,
yeah, hello Francisco, this is Juan. I mean, those both agreements, I believe they are going really to boost sales of our biosimilar in the second, what we call a second growth of lack of growth or in a conversation strategy. Just to give you some flavor, the Hikma agreement implies a market of around 70 million euros in terms of sales. Is the regional market leader by far in those markets. So we are very optimistic that we should be capable of grabbing a substantial market share of that market. In the same line, the Sandoz agreement, the market, the countries under this agreement, their accumulated value is around 160 million euros. So again, we're talking about a substantial chunk of the worldwide market of enoxaparin. Again, as well, Sandoz, I don't think I have to speak highly about the company. It's one of the largest generic players in the in the in the pharmaceutical business. And again, we are, like with Hikma, we are very excited to start launching the biosimilar in those countries. Having said that, the registration process in most of these countries, unfortunately, it takes some time. That's why we very much have highlighted that we envisage all these markets as a second leg of growth within our commercialization strategy. But once we start rolling out the product in the markets under these agreements, we believe it will substantially speed up the sales of the Enoxaparin, of the biosimilar Enoxaparin.
And lastly, with regards to your last question, that was about the rumors about any potential change in the corporate income tax. As far as we know, they are discussing a minimum corporate income tax. I would say that as we, I mean, in the medium term, as we expect our profitability to rise due to the launch of new products and the ramp-up of the biosimilar, this minimum cap will not heavily change our current corporate income tax. One thing, as you know, is the corporate income tax filing. Well, we do have now some limitations with regards to the use of the negative tax basis and also the R&D deductions. That those are already in place, and that there is a limit on the use of that in a yearly basis. And another thing is the corporate income tax in terms of accounting. In terms of accounting, as you know, we have to accrue and capitalize the deductions that we are producing this year and in each year. And that will not change, I think, no? But anyhow, as you are saying, these are rumors, and we have still to see what happened with the corporate income tax. The good news is that with the current existing deductions and the negative tax basis already capitalized and in place, we do not believe that our corporate income tax changes dramatically in the next coming years, even though they will propose a new law, no?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. That is star one should you wish to ask a question. And the next question comes from the line of Ignacio Mendeville. Please ask your questions.
Hi, good afternoon. I have also three questions. The first one regarding enoxaparin and heparin. At what prices are you buying now heparin, and how much it represents from your cost of goods sold? And finally, can you tell us if enoxaparin sales are contributing positively or negatively to your gross margin? Regarding working capital, we see a large increase, mainly due to heparin inventories. Can you tell us also what to expect for the rest of the year? And then the last one, how do you expect to protect your licensing right of Vitorin Absorcol, and what peak sales should we expect now for both products? Thank you very much.
Hi, Ignacio, this is Javier. With regards to the current heparin prices, we cannot disclose that openly. This is very confidential for us, and also, as you can imagine, we cannot share that information with our competitors. As you know, our consumption of heparin is high in terms of cost of goods, and it's a market that is somehow commoditized and depends on many factors. With regards to the enoxaparin sales and if they are expanding our gross margin or not, I can tell you that in the current markets we are expanding and they are contributing in a positive way to expand our gross margin. The third question was related to the heparin inventories, and as you are right, we are building up heparin inventories and we are building up enoxaparin product because we are launching in many countries, and before we launch, we need to build up the stock and the goods to be sold afterwards, no? So I believe that this is going to be a trend for us in the following months, and I guess in the following years, as until the sales of the product become flattish, no? Because as we are in a ramp-up situation, I guess, that unfortunately our working capital related to the biosimilar will be increasing related to the inventories.
And hello, this is Juan Ignacio. Regarding Vytorin and Absorcol, as you may know, a few generic companies in Spain decided to launch the product at risk in May this year. We are expecting any time to have the final decision of the judge that is right now deciding whether they're infringing IP protection. Having said that, unfortunately, due to the price scheme process in Spain, once generics have launched, all products, in order to keep the reimbursement profile, you need to match prices of the generic products. So we had to decrease prices by 40% in order to still be listed in the reimbursement category list. So we're a little bit right now under somehow for sanctity, in the sense that there are not many cases similar to this in the recent years that we can somehow extrapolate. If we win the case in court, then we'll have to approach the Minister of Health and discuss whether we can have our prices set back at the initial ones before the generics launch. And again, it will depend very much on the court decision and our talks with the Minister of Health of what will be the final potential sales objective of Vytorin. If we lose the court case, or if the Minister of Health decided not to, let's say, grant us our former price, we should be making monthly sales of around 700,000 euros per month to 800,000 euros per month on the product.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. That is star one should you wish to ask a question. And the next one comes from Daniel Wilkinson. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I've just got three here. Initially, on Bemiparin, looking at the strength there, particularly in Spain, can you just kind of give us an idea of the market dynamics that are driving that? Then the second one is looking at Enoxaparin. I know we touched a bit on the UK, but you've given us a split there for H118 with about 11% in Italy. So I'm guessing based on that, the kind of Q2 Germany sales seem slightly down on Q1. Again, can you just kind of give us an idea around that and what's driving that there and if I've got that right? And then finally, just on the cost of sales, they seem to be up about 12%, about 62 million, kind of a bit more jump over your revenue. Can you just give us an idea again what's behind that and what's causing that? Thank you.
Hello, this is Juan. Regarding Bemiparin, you're right. I mean, the sales in Spain are really speeding up very nicely, and that's mainly, we believe, due to the threat of the future biosimilar launch in Spain. We believe that Sanofi or their sales force, either they have lost focus or they have reduced their commercial efforts, and that has given us a momentum in terms of Bemiparin sales. We see quarter by quarter and month by month that we are really grabbing market share with Bemiparin, and we believe that this trend will continue in the next coming quarters. There are no really major dynamics, but a pure competition landscape, and we believe in that sense we are keep on pushing. We are doing exactly the same calls with Bemiparin and the same promotional effort that we have done in the last couple of years, and we believe it's purely a change in the competition landscape, and we believe that Sanofi may be pulling away certain promotional efforts that they were doing in the past. So from a Bemiparin point of view, we don't think nothing should change in the next coming quarter. Regarding Enoxaparin, I mean, actually sales in Germany are going pretty well. I mean, market share is increasing. I don't have on top of my head exactly which is the percentage in terms of market share, but we compare ourselves with the other biosimilar, enoxaparin, which is right now in the market, we are selling almost 3 times their sales. So really things are going at least as we plan, as we forecasted. I mean, it's something that we are learning and is really, it really matches our previous market analysis that we did. And the enoxaparin biosimilar is very different market by market, country by country. The dynamics are extremely different. You have to do a very specific marketing approach on a country basis. And I believe in that sense, we believe in Germany, we have managed to do it, at least to hit initially the right dynamics. And actually sales, we are quite excited because they are really evolving in the way that we were expecting. I mean, having launched after our main, the other biosimilar enoxaparin, although a couple of weeks after, we are already tripling their sales.
Well, actually, just to add some info, in terms of sell-out, so in terms of units sold from the pharmacy to the consumers, our sales in the second quarter have increased very much. However, that is right, in January this year, in order to the wholesalers to have a stock, we have an important volume just to fill up the stocks of the wholesalers. No? But the tendency, as Juan was mentioning, in terms of selling out, is very positive in the second quarter. And Daniel, we didn't catch your last question. Could you repeat it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, just looking at your cost of sales, it seems to be up about 12% to about 62 million compared with about a 5% increase in your revenue. Can you just give us an idea of what's behind that in any specifics as you can? That'd be great. Thank you.
And you mean about the cost of goods sold, about the whole company in the second quarter, no? You mean, no?
Yes.
Yeah, what we are saying, and that's the underlying, is that the injectable business, for manufacturing, contributed in a very high added value way in last year, and also depending on how it fell, it also changed the quarterly approach in terms of cost of goods sold, because some of the sales of the toll manufacturing injectable are purely service driven, so they have no impact on the cost of goods sold line, and that could change the figures quarter by quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. That is star one should you wish to ask a question. No more questions. Please continue.
All right. Thank you, Jenny. So there are no more questions at this time. We can finalize this conference call. Thank you, all of you, for attending the call, and we hope that you have a great summer holiday break. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.